Okay. Hi, welcome back again. We are still with the fourth annual online Moms Fighting Autism Conference, and I am so very, very excited to have with us tonight Mark Mortone. So many people have asked me about iPad apps for autism. It's such a big buzz, and I'm so happy to have Mark here with us tonight. Welcome, Mark. Thank you so much for agreeing to be on the show tonight.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. So you are an autism app specialist. Can you tell me a little bit about what you do?
So what I do is, I also, outside of being involved in technology, I'm a lead teacher in an AVA autism program in Hoboken, New Jersey. But I also have a startup technology company that specializes in using iPads with children with autism from any age. I work from children that are 3 years old all the way up into their late 20s. In part with that, I also do app development. So a lot of the stuff that I do work on kind of feeds my design and my development for apps. And that's about it in a nutshell.
That sounds great. Can you please tell us a little bit more about your involvement and what a lot of people want to know is about what's available out there. So I'm going to turn you over to the audience, and please enlighten us.
Okay. So tonight, what I want to first mention is that the slides that you're going to be looking on, not all of them are up on the webinar. So if you want, you can go to my website at www.itpadd.com. That's www.itpadd.com. And under MFA, in the bar on the top, click on that link, and it has three formats of the presentation. And feel free to download them as I get to the slides that aren't in here. So iPads is a very big deal. Since its launch in 2010, it's quickly become one of the more preferred tools for educators and parents, as well as other professionals in the field. As we know, it's been very focused on using it with individuals with autism. One thing that I do want to stress is that although we may read a lot about it, we may see it on TV, we see a lot of great things that happen, but sometimes when parents go to apply and do it themselves, they hit a lot of different obstacles. Things just aren't working. They want to know what the best app is to use. They want to know what the best device is. How can we use this to expand into the community, into different areas that maybe you may not think is it's appropriate for? And we may discuss a lot of that tonight. But I just want to also stress that the iPad does not replace any formal therapy, doesn't replace any instruction. It'll enhance, it supports it, and it could introduce new skill acquisition. Okay? So why don't you say we just get started? Because I have a bunch of slides. I know there's a lot of questions because I've already got some right in front of me. All right. What I want to do first is quickly go over the research involved in using iPads. Now, I know many people want to go right into the apps, but this is extremely important, especially to educators, that we need to know this. Because as we start seeing more iPads be introduced into classrooms and we see a lot of funds going into buying apps, we just want to make sure that there's some research behind it because we don't want to go into an area that we're not familiar with just yet. And I'm going to very briefly, it's going to take no less than a couple of minutes just to go through this because this isn't what tonight is really going to be focused on. So there's a few studies that I personally will look at, and these are the three online. One is by Dr. Kanglahara out of New Zealand. And what she did was she did a study using the iPad for using Pages, which is a Word document for the Apple computer. And what she was able to do was use the iPad displaying a video model of how to use spell correction. And in return, this produced results for children to increase their spelling words when they were writing. This is only for two children. So what I want to take out of that is that she used this for video modeling to teach a skill. Okay, I'm just going to break it down for you because that's how I have to break it down. I'm going to make it very simple for parents and educators. As you're in the behavior analytic field, you can break that down into a more complex explanation. But for tonight, I'm going to make it as simple as possible. The second one is by Dr. Flores. And what they did was, in many questions, in fact, I have some of the questions in front of me, what is the difference between using an iPad and one of those laminated picture-based systems? Well, to be according to the study, and probably more that will eventually come out, I think they're finding that there's similar results. One over the other really doesn't make a difference. Now, depending on the child, too. It may depend on the child, and it may vary the results at that. So you just want to be careful. But according to the study, it doesn't really make a difference which system you're going to use. It produces very similar results. And a third study, this is extremely new, and I think this is one of the more they're all important, but this is one that a lot of people were looking at. Because we're all used to the traditional materials, and a lot of parents get frustrated saying, you know what, my child just doesn't learn that way. Why can't we use the iPad and maybe go back? Or why can't we do some of the instruction on the iPad and then use maybe in a traditional manner? Well, this study by Leslie Neely at Texas A&M University, what they did was they compared academic instruction delivered on an iPad to the instruction delivered through traditional materials for two students with autism spectrum disorder who also escaped, who also engaged in escape-maintain challenging behavior. What this did, and I'll summarize it very quickly, is that both participants displayed lower levels of challenging behavior and higher levels of academic engagement when using the iPad. Okay, when they did not use the iPad, they engaged in higher levels of challenging behavior and lower levels of academic engagement. That's a very brief summary. So when the research wasn't there, any educator, we base it on our best practices. Again, it's a method or technique that has consistently shown results to be superior from those achieved and others made that can evolve to become better as improvements are discovered. Why am I saying this to any of you? Does it really make a difference? It does, because there's a lot of schools out there and a lot of districts that are hesitant to use these devices. And unless we use them, we're not going to know the effects that they're going to have. So I advocate practice, 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 use best practices, and use it in a systematic way, which we are going to go over today. Okay, and we're going to move forward now. I want everybody to understand that the iPad is a tool. This isn't something that you're just going to throw in front of a child and expect them just to kind of keep busy during downtime and stuff like that. There's teaching to this, okay? It's like anything. But I think sometimes we read so much and we have so much built in that we want this to work, and it may going to work, but it may just take a little time, okay? So remember, it's a tool, and it's only going to function as good as the user. Who is the user? Well, the user is going to be you as a parent, you as an educator or professional, and the child. The child has to use this, okay? It's like I'm going to download a great app, and I'm going to put it in front of it, and they're going to automatically learn it. We can't make that assumption. We have to teach them. We have to teach them where the home button is, how to turn it off. What if the volume is too low? You know, there's children that I know that absolutely hated apps, but it wasn't the app. It was because they couldn't hear what was going on because the volume was too low. Simple things like that can make a difference. So remember through this that the iPad is a tool, and it's going to function only as good as the user. Now, with that said, I want to go a little further into what the iPad can do, okay? And this is going to be a little further than what many of us would imagine. It provides a lot of opportunities. This isn't just a device that I want to see sitting at a desk or sitting in a child at home watching YouTube or watching something that they could be using it more productively. For older children, it can expand employment opportunities. What do I mean by that? Well, it can be used in a very multifunctional way. First of all, if a child doesn't have a very well-developed repertoire of skills and they're still learning some basic functions, but they are in the employment environment. So let's say they're learning some stuff to do in a restaurant, but they may need some picture sequencing activities or visuals to help them. You can use this to provide video modeling, to provide picture sequences, some sort of activity book, task scheduling book, okay? Not only that, there are so many cool apps that are on the market that we can teach the children to do invoicing for small businesses, that can do data collection, that can input information into simple preset templates. There's a lot of different things out there. It's how do we want to take this and use it? You got to develop a plan. It can also have a lot of children actively participate in the home, the classroom, and the community. There's many things they can do in the home with this. In the classroom, Now, that's going to depend on the teacher, how much they're engaged in the iPad and how much they're going to welcome it, and what is it that they're going to use in it. You know, are we going to use some programming, or could this be used for peer-to-peer interaction, peer-to-peer play? There's a lot of great games out there that require two peers to play with them. And even some games, when you have two iPads, when it's the other peer's turn, the one iPad freezes up until the other child takes their turn, and then it allows that child to take the turn. So there is some control with that. Also in the community. Okay, one thing with the community, if you use an iPad in the community, you want to make sure that whatever you're using is a standalone application, because if you're used to something that's web-based, you're going to have to make sure it's got internet access to it, okay, or it's not going to function. It can also be used to teach new skills, okay? Now, as we go through this, I'm going to show you kind of a little evaluation that I do use. It's nothing great. It's nothing fantastic. It's a starting point on where to start on how to use an iPad and how to pick the right goal to use and target, excuse me. But you can use schedule following, okay? You can teach new skills using schedule following. One, the photo on the left side is called ChoiceWorks. It basically replicates one of those systems. I see a lot of people at home where they have the Velcro on the left side and the Velcro on the right side. When they complete the step, they move it to the right. They go from left to right and they move it. Same thing. It limits you to 8 tasks or 8 steps, but it's a great tool. Communication. One thing I do want to say about communication is, what is the best communication app? Well, I'm going to be honest with you, I don't know. There are some good ones, okay? But why I'm saying that is because every child has different communication needs, okay? And one thing I do want to stress is that if your child or you feel that they need some sort of communication device, please get them evaluated by an augmentative specialist. The only reason why I'm saying is that you're right, it's easy to download, and I'm sure it's going to be a fight with the district to try to get a lot of these different things. But remember, IDEA protects you from that, okay? So if you need any evaluation, request it. But please try to have a professional evaluate your child instead of just downloading all these apps that you see that are listed for communication, okay? Because while you may think one is right because another parent recommended because it works for their child, and now you download it for, let's say, $100 and some odd, it's not working for your child, well, because it wasn't really appropriate for your child, and a different app may be appropriate for your child. So, and there's a lot out there, and it's really hard, but they're very expensive too, so you want to really take your time on picking a communication app. Self-care skills, you can use video modeling, you can use schedules, you can use these iPads in the shower. They have some great waterproof cases. You can, instead of putting a 30-step showering program that's Velcro that always peels apart and falls to the floor all the time, you can just put it right on the iPad, okay? It sounds easy. It takes time. It takes training. It takes kind of some troubleshooting for you yourself and how it's going to fit into your daily routine. But these are options, and I'm telling you how we're expanding using these iPads. Video modeling for brushing teeth. You can even show them a live picture of them brushing their teeth, almost like a mirror image of them, okay? Academics, you can start anywhere with that, okay? Again, it's going to depend on what exactly you're targeting. Fine motor skills, you can't get a better device to use like the iPad because it's a multi-touch device. You're going to have to tap and swipe and double tap and pinch. So there's a lot of different things you can learn from using an iPad. Access. The iPad gives us access to everything, things that we never really had access to. A lot of children may not go out on field trips a lot. Some children may not go on field trips, okay? So if they can't, they can bring that experience into the classroom. And it's different from using a computer that a teacher is kind of overseeing and directing themselves, because this child can choose what they want to go to. You know, there's some really good art apps, of museums that you just tap certain ones, and it'll take you to different, simulated floors and 3D imaging of sculptures and things like that. They have one from a rainforest. There's a lot of different things. Enjoyment. Don't forget about enjoyment. That's what these things are really for. You know, before all these apps came out, wow, we love music. We love our videos. Make it enjoyable, too. So it's got to be fun. So don't forget about that. It's just that we want to regulate all of these different things. I get a lot of calls and a lot of emails about parents that want to use the iPad. They have an iPad. The problem is their child was using it for playing games, and now they're having a hard time introducing education. So you want to make sure you balance all that, okay? It promotes independence. Again, following routine, completing tasks, socializing with peers. I'm not saying to use this iPad to teach socialization. You can use it to enhance it. You can teach it to introduce it, but I'm not going to use an app for it. I'm not going to use an inanimate figure to teach socialization. I'm not going to teach a cartoon character to teach socialization. Some people may disagree with me, and I respect that. However, I look for transferring that skill into the real world. My end goal is, how am I going to take this going iPad and bring it to the real world? How are they going to generalize this from the iPad to home, to school, to the community? Okay? You can use things like FaceTime and Skype for socialization, peer interaction, because if you're in a school and your child's in a self-contained class, there's a greater chance that they may see that child that they're FaceTiming in another classroom that may be their peer buddy. There's a better chance than that than seeing some clip art animated guy walking down the hall. Okay? And that's just, I'll be honest with you. And some of these conversation apps that do teach skills, there's prerequisites of reading and comprehension. So you want to make sure that your child has those skills too before you even download those. You know, it may just say conversations, but if you're the one that's reading it all the time, you know, you want to make sure that it's really best fits for your child and their capabilities. Information. I'm not talking about just the internet. This is all about information for an adult. Or, you know, any of the children can look up things on the internet. But more so, let's look a little further for the adults, because if they're learning to live independently, what they're going to be able to do is find where the bus station is, where the local coffee place is, where the local theater is, what are they playing. And it gives them a map of how to get there, where the local park is. All right? So these are a lot of different things we have to start thinking about. And we need apps that are a little more interface user-friendly for not just us, but for the individuals with autism as well. Leisure skills. You can't forget about leisure skills. This is probably one of the most requested topics that I get to help the children, have them learn on the iPad as far as independent skills. So there's a lot of games out there. One thing I do want to, just warn you that some games are very conceptual, and sometimes there's a ceiling as they get complicated and they get more progressive. And don't feel discouraged. There's ways that you can teach them to go through these games, okay? One thing I'm going to suggest is, if you're going to try a game and it's a free version and you know your child likes it, don't wait too long to buy the paid version. The only reason why I'm telling you is that when I first started this a few years ago, I bought some free versions because I didn't really have the money to spend on all these apps. But what I found is, after teaching a child a month just use this free version, and I said, I'll just buy the new one, or buy the paid version. What happened was, there are so many different features, the setup's different, the whole interface is different, the child no longer liked it because they could no longer access the program. Okay? Mm-hmm. And if you have a child that has difficulty reading, to start a program, there's apps that start with Go, they use Start, they use Begin, they use One Player with the number one, they use One with the letters O-N-E player, and then sometimes they just use Main Menu and that starts it. So sometimes a lot of these children just learn that by pressing a button, it's getting me somewhere, okay? They may not be reading it, but they know it's cause and effect. I tap this and I play. When that game's over, that's where you got to start teaching them, do I want to play again, or do I need to exit out and start over? Or does it go to the next level, which may have not been taught yet, okay? Just some things to think about. Again, social media. There's no reason that, our children can't use Facebook, can't use Twitter. Again, we're going to monitor it, okay? I did a story not too long ago about finding safe social media, and the only social media that's out there, and it's not on the iPad, but it's something you should take a look at. It's called Squad. I have no affiliation with them, but it's really the only one out there. It's a very safe social media platform for children with autism, because that's what it was designed for. Video conferencing. Why not video conferencing their cousins? Why wait till they come once or twice a year? Video conference with them. Video conference peers. Video conference grandma and grandpa. Okay? Use this.
What wonderful ideas. Yes.
And photos and videos. I'm not talking about having your child take photos of random things. What I get a lot of requests over, hey, Mark, my memory is totally filled up and I don't know what happened. What happens is sometimes the children, they like some children that engage in some behaviors of whether they're self-stimulatory or non-productive or stereotypy, whatever you want to phrase it, they'll take pictures of themselves, maybe making different faces, maybe just snapping them. They'll take video and it'll fill up. Instead of just restricting from that, teach them how to take pictures. And then when they take the pictures, bring it to a next step, maybe putting it in Keynote, which is like a PowerPoint, just something basic, or maybe putting it in the schedule that they're going to use, you know. But teach them these skills. Don't just restrict them all the time, okay? Because what you're doing is, as you restrict different apps on this iPad, you're limiting the amount of function it's having, okay? And you may have to restrict initially, but then teach it. Don't just put it to the side and say, oh, they're obsessed over it. Well, if you teach it appropriately at certain times, maybe you can. It will be appropriate for them and can be used in many different ways. Okay, now with the iPad, as far as using the iPad, I truly believe of using the iPad with many kids and talking to so many trainings, there has to be a process. Okay, there just simply has to be a process. Buying an iPad and just downloading the app and expecting it to work, it may work for some people, but it's just not practical, you know, and it just wastes a lot of money, it wastes a lot of time. And one thing we know with working with the children, we don't want to waste time and we don't want to waste money, because a lot of the therapies that we're paying for cost an arm and a leg right now, and the last thing you want to spend out is hundreds of dollars on apps that just don't work, okay? So this is just a simple process that I've kind of just a broad process. You want to identify, as far as a teacher or even a parent who may have one or two or three children with autism, identify which child is going to use this iPad. Okay, let's not say, well, our whole class is going to use it. Well, I think you're jumping ahead of the game. Okay, start small. We're going to identify one child. We're going to evaluate them, and we're going to go through this really quickly. We're going to pick a target skill. Don't pick five or six or three. Pick one. See if one works. If one doesn't work, there's no reason to pick two or three, okay? Select a device. Of course it's the iPad. But which model? Does it make a difference? Of course it does. If you're going to use a lot of video modeling, you're going to want a lot of memory, okay? If you're going to use it in the community, you're going to need a 3G service, okay? The process of the integration. The support. Who's supporting you? Is your district supporting you? Do you have outside support? Do you have a private person to help support? Is there a resource that you can call and say, hey, listen, I bought this iPad, I downloaded the app, and it's just not working? Or, you know, so even find out if that app has a high level of support. Now, I'm going to go into the apps in a little bit, but every app is required to have support. The level of support, well, that depends on the developer. It could just be as a simple email. It could just be a tutorial on their webpage. And training. Is this something you need to be trained on? I know Apple offers the one-on-one training for learning the functions of the iPad itself. What if you want to expand on using apps? If you have specific questions on using with your children, you're afraid you need somebody more that has more experience in the field, then that's something you may look into. But I do want to warn you, be careful about, you know, trainers that are just kind of jumping on the bandwagon with these iPads. I'm a huge advocate on it, and I'm not afraid to express my opinion about it. Again, because it costs a lot of money, and some of these trainings are not cheap, all right? And you want your questions answered while you're there. So what are we going to do? We're going to identify the learner, okay? So do they have the prerequisite skills to use the iPad? If not, we're going to have to teach them to them. But is it possible that we can teach them on the iPad? So tapping, swiping, do they have those fine motor skills? Are they just merging? Doesn't mean they can't use it. It means that we just need, that's what we need to work on right now. We're not going to really focus on, having them use it for a specific purpose. We just want them to learn to turn it on, to press the home button, to swipe, to access. That's all it could be right now. In fact, that's what some of my early programs are, is just access to the iPad, okay? And I'll tell you, there's not many children that I've worked with that have not learned by themselves within a day or so, not even within a day, within a few minutes of having the iPad, okay? What environment are you going to teach it in? Home, school, community? We'd love to have them in all three, right? But that's not realistic. It's not because we don't want it realistic. It's just because there's always red tape somewhere. So you want to make sure that wherever environment you're going to stay, you're going to maintain using that iPad in the way that you are going to implement it, okay? And then when you see success in that one environment, that's when you push and put it in the other environments, because now you've seen the improvement and you've seen the progress. Limitations, are there going to be limitations to using the iPad, okay? And it could be as simple as a safety issue. It could be as simple as a motor issue. It could be as simple as the environment that it's being used in. You know, is that mom and dad can afford it? We know the school can, but they don't want to. That's a limitation of learning of using one. I know it seems kind of like, well, that's not one. It is, because you can have a whole plan because you know ahead of time. That's why you want it. You know what you want to teach on, okay? But having access is a limitation of the iPad itself. And then accessibility options. Do you need any accessibility options on the iPad? The iPad has one of the most comprehensive set of accessibility options that I can't even imagine. Do you need guided access where you can deactivate parts of the screen? Do you need to put speak text on? Do you need to zoom certain text? I mean, there's so many different things that you can use. It's going to depend. Again, this is you just, you know, learning the iPad itself before you download apps. You need to learn the system, okay? Okay, next is an evaluation. Now, I think this is probably a little difficult for some of you to see. If you want this, it's actually available on my website. It's on the top bar. It's called ASR. That's something different. This is just an evaluation. It should still be up there. It's under that same topic, ASR, and you can download it. And it really just goes over all those different areas. What it explains is the environment, what skill you're going to address. So let's say we want to teach scheduling. Okay, we want a child to engage in multiple activities but use a schedule because they get caught on one, so we need them to kind of move forward when they're finished with one. You know, we'll use a picture prompts to help them with that. Or is it task completion? So we need multiple pictures to complete a task. Well, do you need videos? Is it going to be a text-based? Is it going to be photo-based? What type of app do you need? Do you need something that gives you basically the creation of everything that you need, every little feature I can to make this happen? Or do you want something more very direct, very point, saying this is a schedule up. They say it's a schedule up. They say it's good. I can't do this, but that's okay. Or I really wish I could do this, but someone else uses it and they see a lot of success. So you want to make sure that that's going to be a whole other issue too, is using the apps. But again, this evaluation will cover all of that. It'll cover the accessibility options you need. Any accessories? Accessories, does it need a case? I can't tell you how many schools buy iPads and parents buy iPads that don't even buy cases. The more durable cases are expensive, but let me tell you, I buy the durable cases, and anyone that's ever seen me present, I would say 95% of the time, I bang my iPad on purpose to show them how durable a case is. I pay for all my cases. I don't get cases sent to me free. It would be nice, but I test them out, because if I'm going to recommend them to a parent, I better make sure that if they bang it on the floor, it drops. It's not going to break, okay? And I'd rather use mine than have them break theirs, because sometimes using some of these devices, if you break them and you don't have a case, and this was their communication system, well, that child just lost the voice, and you don't have a backup. Because getting that iPad itself was hard enough. There's no way I was getting a second one. The least you could do is protect it, okay? It's not going to protect the screen if you hit it in a corner. You know, if you smack that right on the corner on the front screen, most likely it's going to crack. But it can protect everything else, because I've seen a lot of drops or more on the edges. And that's what creates the crack in them. again, if anybody wants, I know I'm going through this really quickly. It's just, but if anybody wants more information, don't hesitate to email me. Okay. I'll be more than happy or you can to get back to you and discuss a lot of this. Now, what I'm going to talk to you about are domain areas. These are basically some of the domain areas that are being used with the iPads. Okay. I'm going to try to go through this as quickly but slowly just to understand this. So a lot of people use it for language development. Okay, there's a lot of language apps out there. Which is the best? It's going to depend on what your target is. You know, even when you ask a speech therapist, and I do consult with them a lot, it's going to depend on, well, yeah, that's how they do it, or that's how I was trained on teaching, let's say, articulation, but there are some people that practice it this way. And that's what you want to be careful of. It's I practice it this way, they practice it that way. Okay. Attending behavior. You know, there are some out there that do try to address eye contact. And I've spoken about this lately at some of my presentations because it's been coming up a lot more, and I got a call last week about the same topic. My biggest thing is I really feel that, you know, if you're going to look at eye contact, I like the more traditional method is just that reel-to-reel eye contact. Because once you put an app into it, there's so many components to it. There's numbers and eyes. There's eyeballs. There's things popping up. Now, you don't need that to look at the iPad. They'll attempt the iPad anyway. If you think just having a picture of a face there, well, you have to worry if they're going to generalize that to a human person. Then on top of that, a parent or their brother or sister or their teacher, okay? So just be careful when you use it for trying to teach eye contact. That's something that there is no research on right now, okay? And that's something that I would like to see because it's kind of like one of those things that, you know, you teach eye contact and they may never get their eyes off that iPad, okay? Scheduling, that's used a lot. Text-based schedules, video-based schedules, and photo-based schedules. Self-care skills, imitation, academics. Motivation systems, not just motivation that, they can watch a video or they can play a game. You know, if you're using a token board or a motivation system or a token economy system, there's a few apps out there that are relatively pretty good that you can use them for. Motor skills, you don't even really need an app for that. You can just teach it using the device. Behavior reduction, they've used it to decrease behaviors through whether it's introducing just as that study showed before, just introducing materials on it reduced behavior. Following directions. Now, what I want to do is break down, so I want to expand on these domains really quickly, because what I'm trying to do is open your mind up to why and how we use these iPads, because sometimes we're just focused on communication schedules, certain academic areas. I want to tell you how these areas get broken down, okay? You get the academic areas, and trust me, I'm going to hit apps. Don't worry about that because I know a lot of you are waiting for that, okay? Academic areas, okay, so you have all your academic areas, is your math and your reading, et cetera, et cetera. You have your language areas, your sounds, your word, your phrases, more expressive language and receptive language. Scheduling, how you can use a schedule for a lot. It could be teaching play skills. It could be used for transitions, managing leisure time, task completion. Self-care, toileting, washing face, meal preparation, showering, attending behavior, task engagement, eye contact. Now I want to take it a step further, okay? I'm going to take one of the academic areas and I'm going to take math. But as you can see, under each main domain area, there is one, okay? So it's math, sounds, task completion, showering, and eye contact. Now, under each one of those, I've broken that down into additional components. You have to understand, when I use this iPad, I break it down like this because I want to see success. Because if I don't see it right at the surface, it's because I didn't break it down far enough, okay? And I didn't target those skills that I needed to become successful, okay? So we're good with math, okay? Let's just use math. It's the first one. Math. Are we teaching rote counting? Okay, so we're going to use rote counting. So in the app, do we need predetermined numbers? Do we need some verbal imitation from this app? Do we need a specific layout? Do we need a drag to match? So what I mean is that if you're going to rote count, is this going to be some one-to-one correspondence? Because I know some, that, you have to understand, some way apps are designed isn't even how you teach some skills. And I'm going to explain why that is in a few minutes. Do you want to limit the target numbers? Do you want to put the target numbers in it, or are you okay with things that are preset? Do you want data to be recorded on, well, I need to know how many gets right and wrong because he's just tapping away. Are there apps out there like that? And are they customizable? I like the fully customizable ones. In fact, most of the apps I like to use aren't even labeled in certain areas because I'm the ones creating the content, okay? Okay, now, this is where, unfortunately, where the slides would end on this on your screen. If you download it off my website, we're going to continue on it would be slide – it should be slide 17. And we're going to talk about rote. We're going to continue with – we finished with the rote counting, okay? So you're going to want to learn how to do that, okay? Again, you're going to break every skill down. Before you're touching the app, you are breaking the skill down, okay? Next, let's talk about app development, okay? Now, before you look at an app or that you find an app that you like that's going to target the skill, and remember, when you look for an app, you're not looking under autism, okay? You're looking under a skill. That's what you're addressing. You're addressing a skill or a skill deficit that may be associated with autism, okay? A lot of people use autism as a keyword because, again, it's a flooded market, and that's what just people do. They know it's an industry, and people are going to put that in there to get the most hits, okay? It's a marketing thing. But it's not always going to be the best results. I want the best results. Okay, so I'm going to look up, if I want to look up, let's say, number identification, I'm going to look up numbers, I'm going to look up counting, I'm going to look up number ID, I'm going to label numbers, I'm going to look up all those different things other than autism is going to take me to numbers, okay? Just because, you know, I may have a son or daughter diagnosed with autism, that's not going to teach them numbers. I need a number app that's going to give me the correct content to do it, okay? But I just want to go over the developers real quick, okay? So this is me personally. As a developer myself and designing apps, these are the type of developers that I've seen that are on the market, okay? If you have a developer in general who is good at writing the programs and the code, okay? He develops the apps, okay? He wants to do it with well intent or they're getting it on a market, okay? And what I found is that they read a lot of reviews. What are the pros and what are the cons of certain apps? And what they do is they try to enhance those apps by making their own by putting all these components in. But when you go to their website and you ask them a question about their app, they can't give you any information because they don't know anything about autism. They don't know anything about the area that they just developed for. Okay, so be careful. Definitely do your research. Parents. Parents are a huge contributor to developing apps, okay? They're directly affected, okay? So that's motivated them. They could be indirectly affected, okay? So it could be their nephew or their niece or their best friend's son or daughter. But in the end, it's personal. So they're going to develop something. But remember this. When they're developing an app, they're developing it for something maybe to their child, okay? They may see something missing, and their child's not learning one way that they're going to develop an app to address that because no one else is helping, okay? So you want to be careful because it's only targeting one group. You'll see a lot of reviews that say, well, my son or my daughter uses this at my daughter. That's one child out of, I think it's up to 1 million children under 21 right now diagnosed with autism. I'm not sure how accurate those numbers are, but that's what I got the other day from the CDC. So you want to be careful that's one child. Okay, you want more children, okay? Then you have professionals, whether it's speech therapist, special education teacher, behavior analyst, physical therapist, whatever. Difference is you want them to focus on their area of specialty. I'm not going to develop an app on physics because that's not my specialty. If I did and somebody bought it, I can tell you how valid that's going to be because I may have just gotten my content off the internet, okay? So you want to make sure that person that developed that app has the experience in the area that they're developing, okay? And again, then you have the advisory board. The advisory board, now that's something that seems more credible, but you're going to see some of those prices are a little escalated because there's a lot of people. You have someone that finances the app, okay? Then you have maybe a teacher on there. You may have a parent on there. If it's something ABA related, they may have a behavior analyst on it. They may, if it's something sensory-based, they may have an OT on it. If it's speech-related, they may have a speech therapist, a teacher, a parent, and someone that finances it. What they want to explain, why are some of these apps so expensive? Well, a couple of reasons. First is that if you have an advisory board, if you have multiple people that are part of an app, they're all going to want a percentage. Secondly, Apple takes 30% off of any app that's purchased, okay? And then on top of that, if you do have someone that finances, they're going to want a larger percentage than what you're getting anyway, okay? So just be careful of all those different things. How do I pick apps? Well, I own over 2,400 now or something like that. I own a lot, okay? I developed a rubric. I call it the app selection rubric, okay? And it puts the developer part of it, the functionality of the app. I've used apps that were targeted for educating a child with autism in a specific area, and it did not function in that manner. I've used apps that weren't even designed for this area that have functioned very well. I look at ratings. I don't look at reviews. Reviews are very subjective, okay? But I'll get more ratings than reviews. Even though ratings, there was an article I just read that weren't that reliable. When you compare the reviews to the ratings, I personally think they're a little more reliable than the reviews. And then just the ease of use, okay? If something's going to take me 2 days to learn or it's going to take me training to learn, well, that may be a little more difficult for someone to use with their child immediately in the classroom because we want that immediate implementation, okay? Real quickly, when we look at different apps, the slide that I'm looking at right now is slide number 20. What I have on here are a bunch of different interfaces of a bowling game. I had a child who loved bowling. I bought one bowling game, and he knew exactly what button to press. It was like what I was talking about earlier. You know, he doesn't have the prerequisite skills of reading. So he knew by tapping the first button, he was going to play bowling, and that was it. When it was over, he can restart if you want. Very simple. Then I downloaded more bowling apps, realized he didn't like it anymore, and I bought them because he didn't know how to read. He didn't know how to activate certain ones. Every bowling game was different in the way the interface was. It was real different. So sometimes all the bells and whistles aren't the best, okay? So you want to be careful. Device selection, again, I touched on a little earlier. Again, find out what you're going to use for. If you're going to use it for more video-based and picture-based target skills, you're going to want to get something that has a lot more space in it. As far as the iPad mini versus the regular iPad, that's going to be a preference. I still just like the regular size iPad. When we select accessories, don't forget there's a whole market of accessories. If a child has a hard time and you want to teach them keyboarding skills, okay, you can use a Bluetooth keyboard. They have keyboards out there that they're very difficult to get, but it's actually an overlay, and it goes right over the keyboard, the on-screen keyboard, and it actually is pressure sensitive. So they actually have to tap for it to activate the screen. It's not like if they put their fingers on without anything, it's just going to activate. This is actually pressure sensitive. And it's a really difficult key guard to get. So if I do get a hold of some, someone's looking for one, I'd be more than happy to share. Styluses, there's plenty of different styluses, not just styluses to write. There's a great, I was actually sent a product called the Nomad Brush. Many of you may be familiar with it. It's a paintbrush. It's a stylus. Most amazing thing. And you can pair that with different programs. You know, children like painting a lot, but you may not have access to paints right away. Maybe you can substitute with the iPad. Cases are extremely important. Something very durable. The iPad is a big investment, not just the iPad itself, also the apps on it. And not only that, think about what it's doing for that child. The iPad may be broken, but there's a lot more at stake than a $500-$600 iPad. It's a child's education. It's their communication. To me, that you can't put a price on. Stands. Some children need stands. Right now, I can tell you, I have a real hard time finding kind of stands that mount to desks. Okay, and that's something I'm really looking for. I've made some kind of mock versions myself to use, but they're not that good. but that's something you want to look for. Do they need a stand, or is it good on a flat surface? Okay, that's going to depend on the child. Headphones, Bluetooth headphones, wireless headphones, wired headphones. Okay, when you're in a classroom, your children may need this because it may distract others, or it may need them to focus what they're learning on the screen. And a protective overlay. Some of the more durable iPad cases do come with an overlay anyway, but just in case, you do want to protect the screen the top layer, what they call the digitizer. And then the supporter training, webinars. Okay, you can start with webinars. Most of them are free. Now, that could either be provided by the developer or see if some other person will provide a webinar for you or a training. Email support is important. On-site, most don't come on-site, but if you do have someone that will come on-site, don't lose their number. It's the same thing with going into the next one, their phone number. No one will give you their phone number, but if you get it, don't lose it because it's someone that it's just a resource. It's networking, okay? Video tutorials is important. It may not give you everything you're looking for in an iPad or an app, but it's something. And workshops. Again, when you're going to workshops, you want to make sure that the trainer or the person giving the workshop has done it before, knows what they're doing, and has worked in the field. Okay? And don't forget about also training your the students as well. Okay, now we're going to go into the apps. Okay? I'm going to spend just a couple minutes on this because I have a bunch of questions relating to apps that will, I'll try to answer as best as I can. I obviously can't answer them probably as accurately as I can or maybe give you the best suggestion for certain apps only because I don't know your child. I'm very specific on what app goes with certain children. I don't believe there's one that fits all because if there was, we wouldn't have hundreds of thousands on the market and somebody wouldn't always be competing, making another communication app or another scheduling app or another language-based app or another math app, okay? But one app may offer something others don't. So on slide 55, I only listed some of the more there's only a handful here. I'm not going to lie. There's more. It's just based on need and what I use frequently. I put one called Drawing Pad. Nice little leisure skill. I use it, again, with the Nomad brush. They can use their finger. You don't have to spend money on the Nomad brush if you don't have it. The Drawing Pad is a very good app, and it can give you pictures. You can download things. It has pencils, markers, has every tool you can imagine, different colors, different paintbrushes. So it's something that I really do like using. And so do my students. Remember, everything I'm talking about isn't something I'm just talking about because I like. I will not talk about an app or talk about anything unless it's been applied with multiple children, okay? And remember, I'm not going to get the same results as I get with one child as when I get with another. The time timer. The time timer is the old kind of $30 timer that has that visual red to tell you how much time is gone by or, it has left. So you can't be for, $3 or $5 to put on the iPad. And on this, you can put four timers on there. There's another timer app called just Timer, and it's 99 cents. That's more digital. It can loop. So if anyone's looking for a looping timer, it has the vibration capabilities but only on an iPhone. It's something that loops it. So if someone needs to collect data and they can't stop the timer, if they're on bathroom timers, these are great things. If you just need a timer for, let's say, bathroom toilet training, you can just use one that comes with the iPad. The timer on the timer app. There's a lot of great apps built in the iPad. I definitely don't have enough time to go through how they can be used, but you won't have to buy a lot of apps for a lot of the purposes that we need it if you use a lot of the built-in ones. Candy Count. I like Candy Count because it's a simple count. It's sorting. It's identifying colors. It's counting. It really encompasses a lot of different skills in the app. It's going to be so it was designed for sorting colors. It was designed for comparing quantities, but there's a lot more you can use with this app as well. Reminders is more of a text-based schedule. What I like about Reminders, it's a built-in app. It's free on the iPad. You can pick different dates. and put certain things that you that are going to occur those days, of field trips, doctor's appointments, not for you. I'm talking about for the student. This is all student based. And then on the same thing, they can put a text-based schedule with a check mark, and when they check it off, it disappears. It goes into a completed column. They can have multiple schedules. They can repeat schedules. They can have timers that will tell them when things are going on. And what's nice about this is that if a parent if they're synced with iCal, they'll be able to actually see it in real time when things are completed. It's kind of neat. Now, Book Creator, I got to tell you, is one of my favorite apps. In particular, because it was actually designed for illustrators. Okay, Red Jumper Studio did a really good job with this. And what this is, it's basically, I use it for scheduling. I use it for children that are learning to write. If children are using the camera, it becomes a photo collection for them. I use this very in a multi-purpose manner. But what's great about this is that it's got every tool I need in a book format. I can import videos from the camera roll. I can import any photo. I can put audio recordings that I record out of my voice. I can take audio recordings out of the iTunes library from the iPad on here. There are so many, and you can export this into iBooks. Now, what's nice about that is that in iBooks, I don't know if many of you know, you can create what they call collections. So really, for my students, each one of my child can have their own bookshelf. It's just called a collection of all their different schedules. Maybe it may be there's one book for hand washing or one book for self-care skills. So there may be videos and pictures in there. Another one may just be one of their leisure skills of taking pictures. So it's a photo album of the pictures that they've taken. Okay. There's a lot of different ways you can use that app. And I'll tell you, for $4.99, trust me, it's worth it. And then there's Keynote that Apple has. Now, many of you are familiar with PowerPoint, and I'm sure a lot of you, because every time I ask, a lot of people have developed things in PowerPoint, and I think they're afraid to say, you have all this in PowerPoint, I don't know if I can recreate it on the iPad or on a Mac. Here's the thing about Keynote. Keynote will open up any PowerPoint, okay? It will open it up. It will put in Keynote format. Now, once you update it or you make some changes and you want to open it back up on your PC, well, you can export it out as a PowerPoint. That's what's really, you can export it out as a Keynote, PowerPoint, or a PDF. But the PowerPoint is what a lot of people use it for. In PowerPoint, you can open up a Keynote, so that's why they have this option, okay? So anything you have, you can import it, right into Keynote, and it'll open it up or export it, and you'll be able to export out of PowerPoint and open it up into Keynote. I do a lot of things in there. I make my own little games on there. I wish I'd be able to show you tonight. There's some fascinating things that you're able to do using Keynote. But I run programs. They look like apps that I've designed, but they're in Keynote. But I'm able to customize them, and I can see whether that works or not. So once I know that it works in this format, then I need to go find an app and find out that it has all these different things that I need that's going to make it work. As far as communication apps, again, I didn't want to really tell you what the best is, because it's really going to depend on the child and what their current functioning level is at, what they're able – fine motor skills plays a part. Do they need key guards, because only certain apps they sell key guards for, so it becomes a little more complex than just telling me, what's the favorite app? Well, can you make those boxes bigger? Can you make the fields bigger? Do they have to be this color? Do they have to be that color? Sometimes you need those, but when you go to assess a child with for a communication system. And then as we move forward using these iPads, it's just using it as a better practice. Just thinking through it a little bit, and trust me, guys. On my side, that's my email. That's not going to go to anybody that I am associated. That goes right to me. So if you ever have any questions on anything, do never hesitate to. It may take me a day or so, but I'll get back to you. Okay. So remember, just better best practice. Okay. may take a little time, but you'd rather do it right the first time than going back three or four times. I can't tell you how many times I've been called in on things that just went awry the first time, and then I'm in here kind of helping and restructuring it again. Again, get iPad training. If there's some things you don't know, you can always, you know, send an email to somebody and they may answer you back, or check out a lot of the forums. Apple has a lot of forums. A lot of special communities have forums. Assess the apps, okay? Don't just take someone's word on it, you know? Know that they've actually used it and applied it in multiple settings with maybe multiple students. And network. You can't get any better than that, okay? You can start tonight by – I'm giving you my email address, okay? So this is your beginning of your network if you don't have anybody that uses iPads, all right? And then what I do, I just launched a new website called myautismapps.com. It's brand new. And I'm going to be literally putting all the apps that I've owned or that I've seen up on there and honestly review and comment. And if you have any questions on apps, you want to know something, we're going to put it right up there. It's not going to be filtered through. Okay, it's not about marketing them. It's talking about this is the app on there. This person may love it, but this is the way it really works. Okay? I think the parents and the educators deserve that much. Okay? So I'd like to thank everybody, and I know we're going to take some questions. And I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of app questions, so I think you're going to hear about more apps as we go forward through this webinar.
Absolutely, Mark. That was so interesting. I'm so glad that you'll be making that list of apps available to our viewers, listeners. We've got quite a lot of questions here and not too much time, so can I get a few quick hits here? There are so many parents here asking such good questions here, and some of these may be on the website, and if you can just, if that app is on this list that you said, just tell me the title for the parent who asks where they can find that. Does that make mm-hmm. sense to you?
Yep.
Okay. Great. What Deb Higgins from Nashville wants to know, what iPad apps are recommended for nonverbal autistic children to help them learn to communicate either verbally via sign language or with pictures?
Okay, so now, really quick, there's a lot of apps that will teach sign language. There's going to be a lot of apps that teach pictures, okay? The question is which system are you going to choose to use, okay? And again, and I don't want to just push this question off, but it's going to come down to evaluating the child
mm-hmm.
because it's going to start narrowing down the most suitable app because – you're going to know whether they need pictures. Do they need cartoon pictures, clip art? Do they need, if they're going to use pictures on a picture-based app, do they need the audio, the auditory output? And does that auditory output, is it okay if it's synthesized or digitized? Or do they need somebody recording into it? And has the child have the prerequisite skills of, doing picture object identification and matching to picture to picture? Mm-hmm. Those are those kind of prerequisite learning, early learning skills. It's about assessing the right communication system for the child. Definitely email me and I can give you a list of some more high quality apps that do that. But make sure if you haven't had an evaluation done to get it done because there's going to be some skills that you want to make sure that your child has before doing that. Because to me, it sounds like there's two sign language to me would signal that they have some very good fine motor skills and imitation skills, whereas picture matching may be, is it that they can point or can they actually hand over pictures? Do you see, there's a lot of different components to that I just want to make it clear before I give a couple apps out like that.
Yes. Spoken like a true educator, Mark. Okay.
Sorry. I know that's not. I know that's not what you want.
No, not at all.
I
agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I'd rather.
It depends upon what she's looking. Wait, go on.
She can email me, and I'll be more than happy to talk to her on the phone and guide her. That's no problem at all because I think it's important. You know, I think a lot of questions are like that. I get them all the time. What is the best app for this? I had someone email me the other day that they got a prescription from a doctor for an iPad. I can't help you with that. You know, like you have doctors writing prescriptions out and it's unfortunate
right.
that the insurance companies don't, that's not, they don't look at it as the medical necessity right now for some children. You know, so that's why I would suggest if you can see this is the way. If you want an iPad or you want certain apps, the best way to do it, the federal law is to get an assistive technology evaluation and an AllCom evaluation done. Based on that report, it's going to determine whether that district's going to have to buy you an app. Yeah, I mean, or an iPad. Okay. So I think that would probably be the most successful way to even acquiring an iPad. I'm not telling everybody to go right out to the district and getting it to, you know, ask them for evaluations. But remember, understand your rights as a parent as well, because I work with a lot of early childhood parents, and, you know, they're starting to learn them, you know. And this is where it fits in. It's that look under assistive technology, under the IDEA, and about some evaluations. Because this is what it's going to be doing at that level. You know, that's what using the communication systems are about. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely consult with a speech therapist.
Good advice. Okay, well, there's a lot of questions similar to that, so I'm going to try to. Here's a very straightforward question. Deb Higgins from Nashville wants to know. It's the same speaker. It's the same question. Can you recommend a sturdy iPad case for an autistic child that's not very coordinated and has been known to throw things often?
Yeah. Okay. So there's a couple. I'll tell you something. There's a couple cases that I really like. One and. You have to understand, when you get a sturdy case, there's going to be some added weight to it, okay? So that I'm just going to preface because it's important. Because I'll recommend a case, and I've done it, and parents are like, well, it's kind of heavy now. It's hard for them to hold. I'm like, well, that's because that's, you know. But what I found is that the gumdrop case is really good, and it comes in a bunch of different colors for kids, so it's very nice. But it's like it's got the screen protector, and it's got a rubbery cover. It's very nice. Also, you have the Griffin armor case, which I use, and I'll tell you something. I literally bang it all over the place, and I use that for my demonstration. The Griffin I like. Also, I like using the OtterBox.
I love the OtterBox. That's what I've got.
I mean, I would. Then you have. I would say within the $90 to $60, that's what you have. Anything below, you know, the portfolio type cases, I'll tell you something. I inadvertently got into repairing iPad screens because everyone would use the portfolio type cases, you know, kind of the ones that fold up but the edges are exposed. So if a kid drops it or bumps into a corner, but when it bumps into the corner, that's aluminum, and sometimes it would tear and then it cracked the screen. And parents need the iPad back within 24, 48 hours. They can't wait 2 weeks. And so
right.
I always suggest, it's like, listen, okay, I fix your screen. Can you just spend $60 or $70 on a good case? Because, you know, if it happens once, it's going to happen again, you know. So I think it's worth the investment. But I would say right now, those are the three that I recommend is Gumdrop, the Griffin, or the OtterBox. Okay? And with the OtterBox, what I like about the OtterBox, it actually – you can purchase a utility strap for it that a child can hang over their neck or their arm if they have to carry it around.
Oh, great. That's a great answer. Here is another fantastic question. Anne Marie from Danville wants to know, where do I find a setting on my iPad? I hope you can answer this because I'm looking for the same exact thing.
Okay.
Where do I find a setting on my iPad to possibly set a block, if possible, on content? Is it possible for my teen, like the internet does? Can you block content on the iPad the way you can on
Of course you can. Of course you can. Now this is going to go down to basic functions of the iPad. Okay. Not saying anything, I'm just saying that this is one of the areas when I say learn to use the iPad's only going to function as good as the user. You have to learn the system, okay? The iPad is very powerful. It's got a lot of options. Under general settings, okay, after you tap settings, you're going to go to the left side and it says general. It's under notifications. Tap that. If you drag it about to the middle, you'll see a thing called restrictions. If you tap on restrictions, what it will do It's going to give you Safari, the camera, face. You could shut off and turn on Safari, camera, FaceTime, iTunes, the bookstore, installing apps, deleting apps, Siri. You can limit the rating content to all movies, TV shows, books, apps. You can disable in-app purchases. Something else I'm going to tell parents, too, is that it can require a password. It's defaulted to require a password only after 15 minutes, okay? But you can also require a password immediately from buying an app. So if I buy an app and I have it set for 15 minutes and I give my iPad to a student, they go to the iPad store and they download an app, they won't be prompted for my password because they have a 15-minute time frame before that expires. So if you have a child and you've been in a situation where someone's bought a lot of apps, go under require a password, and it's going to require them to put a password in every time you purchase an app. Okay? You could change the privacy settings in here. You can allow changes. You can shut down the game center of adding friends or multiplayer games. You can shut all that down. So what you're going to find, I think what you're looking for is in restrictions. If you're looking to lock down certain apps, you may not find that. You can't just – these – basically what you're doing is hiding these apps on the iPad. You can't do that to third party, you know, the apps that you're purchasing off, you know, out of the app store. You can only do it to the ones that are actually selected in restrictions.
I see.
Okay.
I see. I want to remind – I'm sorry if I cut you off. I want to remind the audience that if you're dialing in, you can ask Mark a question. You can pick this very intelligent man's brains. Dial in *2 and ask him a question yourself, please. Let's hear from the audience. Not to say that we don't have so many questions from our email folks. Let me see. There are so many great questions, but I'm an educator, and here is an educator that asks. Catherine from Tucson, is there an app that will take a worksheet from a classroom and using the camera take a picture and then be able to type in the blanks?
You want to use like a PDF?
I'm not sure, but it sounds like Catherine wants to...
So, yeah. Okay, yeah, there's a couple out there. A couple of ones that I like is UPad. You can use one. There's a bunch of PDF ones because a lot of people like to type in on those. So do they want to put – see, I need to, that's the problem. I know I'm going to have so many questions, but what I would need to know is it just – we're talking just a plain old just a plain document that you're going to type in and just put text boxes in.
That's what it sounds like. She wants to just download something and have the student be able to type into something that's been pre-arranged, like a filling in the blank kind of closed. Activity.
Yeah, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I like UPAC because it's kind of like you can put photos in there. It's like taking notes. It's PDF annotating. It's you could handwrite on it. You can type in it. You can export your work. I like that one. I think it's easier to use. And it's used quite frequently. In fact, it was picked as an app of the year last year by multiple outlets. You should try that. It's only $4.99. If that person wants to email me, I'd be more than happy to show them through a Skype call what it looks like before purchasing it.
That's very generous.
But I like that one because it has a lot of different things in it.
UPad sounds great. Trudy McMullen. Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
If anybody, you done? I don't want to cut you off. I you're in New Jersey and I'm from New York. We both talk so fast.
I know.
Trudy from Calgary, Alberta, has a wonderful question. She says, like you stated earlier, you need to research the app to see if it's appropriate. I am in the process of trying to find an app to be used as a communication device. I need to find an app which has switch and scanning accessibility, and one which can grow with the student. Do you have any experience using Talk Tablet app or ProloQuo2Go?
ProloQuo2Go, yeah.
Do you have any experience with Talk Tablet or ProloQuo2Go?
Yeah. Talk Tablet, that has auditory scanning features on it. This is what it's going to come down to. ProloQuo2Go is it's $189, and Talk Tablet is like $80. And sometimes it's unfortunate, but sometimes price conquers the functionality of some apps, you know.
Do you think, Marcus, what you pay for is one better than the other because it costs more?
You know what it is? It's not always, okay? Not always. I think that each one serves its own function. Because the one offers scanning and some others don't. And it's funny she brought that up because that's been kind of a hot topic among some of the people that I work with as far as finding software that scans, because there's not much out there. A lot of people are still using the MacBook, but they do have, it's a speech scanning software, through a switch. And you have to go with people that are really, really dedicated in making a very high quality app. And what I like about it is that their support center, as far as the Talk Tablet, they have a good support center. You know, it's because they have a phone number. You know, I was telling you about phone. You get a phone number, that's great. And it's not like you're gonna actually talk to the people that know the app. Whereas everything else, I mean, ProloQuo is a great program. I think when you're going to look for a scanning software, look for someone that really specializes in the scanning software. And that's only all that, you know, it's like a lot of people asking me for a lot of the Bluetooth switches, a lot of the Bluetooth trackballs and things like that. And I know that's for, you know, other children, maybe more physical limitations, but it's the scanning software that people are looking for. And if they need to use whatever accessory they need to do to access it, they'll use it. But it's the scanning software that's just emerging. And I think that's going to be a very competitive market very soon. I think I would probably, if you're looking for something scanning, I would probably stick with Talk Tablet. Because here's the thing, it uses the same, it uses symbol sticks, the same library as ProloQuo2Go. See, most applications, communication applications, look at the symbol system that they're using. They're licensing symbol sticks. A lot of communication apps use that. You know, then now that you know what libraries they're using, then you look at the functionality. Well, one has scanning, one may not. One has this type of recording, the other one doesn't. This one allows me to do this, this one doesn't. You know, that's what it's going to come down to. And then once you figure all that out, you're going to say, well, does that really make a difference? That's, you know, another, that is going to be $100 cheaper. Is the scanning this important now? How much are those features worth to you? Not really worth to you, worth to the child, you know?
Right.
But I would, because, Talk Tablet, I know, is one of the few that is a scanning communication device.
Mm-hmm.
That I would go with them.
Okay. Very
okay.
Good. quick question from Gina from Petersburg. She's looking for a device for her young adult with ASD. He can use a regular computer. Would you still recommend an iPad? What's the advantage, I guess, of iPad over a regular computer?
Well, again, it's going to depend on what are they doing on the computer.
Yes.
You know, is it for entertainment? Are they just watching videos, or are you going to be converting, let's say, documents over that the child may be typing, some of their work? It's going to go, I mean, to migrate from a computer to, you know, information onto an iPad, isn't that difficult? The child, you're just going to have to train the child on using the keyboard. Is it going to be an on-screen keyboard? Is it going to be a Bluetooth keyboard? Most children that have done that, I use a stand with a Bluetooth keyboard. It's a little easier. What you have to teach them is that there's no mouse, and that it's the touch. That you know, if you want to change something, you have to touch the screen. There's no mouse that you're going to be able to manipulate to change and highlight certain areas.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on the purpose. I know a lot of people that have actually
exactly.
If it's for game playing, a lot of people have went to the iPad because it's mobile and they can use it anywhere. And some of the games are a better quality on the iPad than they are on the computer these days.
Mm-hmm. Very good. Another Mark from LA would like to know, is there some sort of online resource that lists executive functioning apps for high functioning teens? And
yes.
For that matter, where online can I see lists of apps with reviews that might be helpful?
Okay. The one that I like is, there's a couple of them. As you're talking about, you know, organizational skills, concentrating, and note-taking and study skills and things like that. One website that I actually came across, and it really highlights five awesome apps for executive functioning, and it's called adayinourshoes.com, and it will explain, like, Dragons on there. iAntonate does it. iStudies. Pros on their course notes. Nudge. Now, what you want to do, that's going to give you a baseline of executive functioning apps. So let's say course notes, okay? They'll tell you a description of it. Go look at the app. But if it's not something you think is a little complex, look for something else that has you, – so now you're in the right area. Now you just need to look at an app that's more focused on what your son or daughter needs, you know? You know, so, yes, there is – they do address executive functioning apps. I would go – again, and I would go with a website that's exactly what they focus on, okay? So I would go with a day in our shoes. And they have five on there, but it's a starting point for you. You can also go to Educational Apps for All. It's a blog. Okay, and I know they up it. But there, I think they just had a blog. It's like a collection of apps for flexible thinking or something. Some of the apps are neat. Some of them are a little off base a little bit. But I'm just going to let you... This is where how you're going to decide. You're not only researching the developer, you're researching blogs on how people write things. Okay, so if you type in, you know, executive functioning apps, you're going to pull up a ton of different websites. So it's like, well, this website says this is good, but why isn't it listed on this one? And so you want to just be careful on where you're getting the list of your apps from. But I would start there. Look at your focus of what really executive functioning is, and start there. So if you're going to cover organizational skills, look for organizational apps. You know, type in those keywords, organization.
Hmm.
Type that in the keyboard and see what apps you're bringing up. If you're typing study skills, type that in. It's one of the areas what they call gaps is poor note taking skills. Type in note taking. You'll find those apps, okay? Don't always rely on, you know, let that be a starting point, okay? Let that be a starting point, and you go and find what you're looking for.
Absolutely. You know, I'm getting a lot of questions like that. You know, people are very anxious to pick your brains because obviously there's a lot there to pick. So I'm going to ask you, you may have the same similar kind of answer, but Helen Myers is from your hometown of New Jersey. Hopatacong. I don't know if you were that.
Hopatacong.
Ah, yes. Helen Myers wants to know.
I have relatives up there.
I know. I love this question because it's something I've been dying to know myself. Because my son speaks but can't type. My daughter needs a program like Dragon to type what she says and get used to her speech impediment. Can you recommend something for her?
Dragon.
Yeah, Dragon. Voice recognition. That's voice recognition. I don't have to tell you. It's one of the many, I'm telling the audience, it's one of the many voice recognition systems. And there's ads for it on late night TV all the time. Dragon, just, you know, you say it and it types it. You know, the voice recognition systems have come so far. That's actually probably old technology by now. Is there a program that can, she can talk and it would type?
They have Dragon Dictation for the iPad.
Yes, for the iPad, because that is not for I'm not sure if you can get that for iPad or not, but it's a program like Dragonware, or, you know, it's on the iPhone too. You can just talk and it types, you know, and there's still a lot of problems, you know.
So,
my husband gets very frustrated with that. You say one thing, it types something else. But do you know of a good voice recognition system that can allow a child to talk and it will type for her?
Well, what you're looking for, you're not looking for voice recognition. You're looking for dictation. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, excuse
so,
me.
So
right.
Just,
yes.
It's the keyword. Now, here's the thing, too. Real quick with Dragon. Dragon only works when you have the internet. Okay. I don't know if many people know that. At one point, I thought it didn't. But when I don't have access to the internet, it doesn't work. Okay. Because their server is down. There's Dragon. There's another thing called voice dictation. Okay, so Dragon's free. There's other voice dictations, 99 cents. Some of the other ones is one called Paperport Notes. And then there's Dictamus. Now, Dictamus is pretty expensive, but it's a very high-end app. Then you look for, now it could be dictation, but then you're looking for sometimes they'll dictate it, but then you have to make sure that it translated into text.
Yes.
Some of them won't translate it into text.
Yes.
So I would probably go with Paperport Notes is pretty good. That's free.
Paperport Notes, yes.
Paperport, yeah.
Paperport, okay.
Yeah, Paperport Notes.
Great.
Mm-hmm. And it works just like Dragon. Voice dictation, it's the same thing. You just have to be careful because sometimes some of these programs only will work in like an email or in notes. They won't always work within like Pages document. You can always copy and paste it into other programs, unfortunately, too, unlike the but the downside of it is that Dragon means – but here's the thing. I know I'm kind of getting a little scattered here, but because I just had to double-check something because Dragon and voice dictation both do need the internet. It's important because I'm not going to suggest something you to download, and then when you don't have the internet, it's not working anymore. Those definitely require the internet, so you want to be careful. I would say maybe you want to try Paperport Notes. Try that. It's free, so it's not gonna it's not gonna cost you anything.
And you think that would deal with her? She mentioned her daughter has a speech impediment, so it's hard for her to use dictation. Do you think going to be it's free, right?
It's free, but you know what? If it doesn't recognize her voice, she can email me, and we can definitely look into some other different apps that may. See, that's the thing. It depends on the voice. You know, it's going to depend on the speech, and if the impediment is what's maybe causing an issue for the dictation not to recognize that word and convert it into text.
Right.
That may just be a big obstacle. you know.
Okay. Yeah, great. Mark, you know, you're so great at answering rapid-fire questions. I've got a caller on the line, but before I move to that, I want to Joan from Austin wants to know, can you please repeat your email address and website slowly?
Sure.
Because people really have so many questions for you that we can't get to them all tonight.
Sure.
So can you please repeat your email address
sure.
and website?
My email address is Mark, M-A-R-K, at itpadd.com. So it's Mark, M-A-R-K, at itpadd.com. That's not like my info one. That's the direct one right to me, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then my web address is www.itpadd.com, itpad.com, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Or I have my other one for it's myautismapps.com. So either one you can reach me at.
Fantastic. We just have time. I'll be contacting you sure as well. We have one time for one more caller. This is a live call, so let's try to. We're going to wrap things up in about 2-3 more minutes. But I want to Claude Metoyer from LA would like to ask you a question. And hold on. I'd like to get Claude on the line. Claude, are you with us?
Well, it's Sherry. It's under my husband's name. We have the same.
Oh,
name.
Okay, very good. Sherry.
Disguising yourself.
Oh. I know. Well, I was on the computer, and I thought that I would just try to call in. Now, my question is, and again, you've done wonderful, and you just answered one of the questions I typed in about your address. With technical difficulties here, sometimes the voice was going in and out. But my child is diagnosed with PDD on the autism spectrum, and he is transitioning from fifth grade to sixth grade and middle school on top of that with a magnet program. So I'm looking to get his iPad ready with apps that would be more suitable for middle school and advanced studies like with science and math, which are his two strongest areas, and was kind of going to ask if I email you or if I contact you through your autism apps, would you be able to help guide me on that?
Yes, definitely, because you know what I would like you to look into, too? You may not always want apps. You may want to look at the textbooks now, too.
Okay.
Because Apple's textbooks are so – they're not even Apple's. They're actually the three top publishing companies. Their science and math textbooks are the most interactive things I've ever seen. And they're cheap. They're, you know, for $15, it's a textbook. You can, we can go into that. In fact, if we had a Skype, me and you, and I could show you, I have them. They're the most amazing things. And you may not always want an app. You may be very happy with looking at the textbooks too. And again, the textbooks do take up a lot of space. But I'm telling you, they're second to none, these things. Because what's nice is that every time there's an update to it, you don't have to purchase it. It automatically updates the textbook. It's amazing.
Oh, that would be wonderful.
Publishers. And don't forget, all these textbooks are in line with all the core common standards, which is very important too, where not many, you know, you don't see many apps saying that they meet certain core common standards, common core standards, you know?
Right.
And having your child, obviously, in a magnet program, you're going to want that, you know?
That would be wonderful. So I will send you a link and set something up later because I don't want to have everybody else's time to speak with you.
Great. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Fantastic. We are just about out of time, Mark. There were so many calls that did not get through tonight, so if we did not get to your question, you can email Mark at give us your email address one more time.
Yeah, M-A-R-K at itpadd.com. It's Mark at itpad.com.
Thank you so much, Mark. I really enjoyed this so much. You were so great at answering rapid-fire questions. Would you like to close with any statement? Thank you so much for being here, and I'm going to give the floor to you. Thank you so much for being here, and please give us your closing comment.
Sure. I'd just like to, first of all, thank everybody for spending their Saturday evening listening. But I think it's definitely a topic worth listening about, and I just want to just reiterate that it's really important, although there's a lot of hope And I know that's what a lot of parents are looking for when other things aren't working out as well as they had hoped. So they do turn to the newest and latest things that are on the market.